Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You got Matt Miller on all the time.
Matt Miller.
Here I come. You ready?
NFL and NFL draft analyst.
I gave him a 69 overall, so very nice grade for him.
Going through college and NFL film.
Jalen Johnson, he gets it. He's smart. He's tough. He's feisty. 6 foot, 193. Ran a 4.5 flat. He knew he needed labrum surgery, went ahead and did the combine. So I love this guy.
Matt Miller with Dan Bernstein on The Score.
Let's talk football with Matt Miller. He is at NFL Draft Scout on Twitter, and he joins us on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline, Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. This segment with Matt Miller is brought to you by Bet Rivers Sportsbook, Chicago's hometown sportsbook. Matt, how are you, man?
Doing well, buddy. Casual Friday for you and I today. I like it.
Well, you know, it's casual every day for me. It's radio. I never dress up too much. You want to get a look at Matt Miller? You can. It is at twitch.tv/Chicago670, The Score. A news item just crossed, and I want to start with this. With Drew Brees out, apparently Taysom Hill is now the quarterback of the Saints, and there isn't. It's not just a package. It's not just as an opener. Jameis Winston is not going to play. There's nothing in there for him. They have made their call, and their next man up is Taysom Hill. What say you?
No, good. I think this is Sean Payton. He's been saying this for like a year and a half now, that Taysom Hill was his guy, that they actually thought he might be the quarterback once Drew Brees retires. Now he's 30 years old, so how long is that window? We don't really know. But I think also, like, I saw this on Twitter this morning, and everyone's up in arms like, oh, I can't believe they're not giving Jameis a chance. Sean Payton coached against Jameis Winston for 4 years, twice a year for 4 years. He knows who he is. He also has him in his locker room all season. He knows who he is. Think about last year. Drew Brees goes down for 5 games. Teddy Bridgewater comes in. They knew what they had in Teddy. They knew they could win games with him, and they did. So this isn't just Sean Payton loving Taysom Hill and saying, I'm going to double down on my comments about the fact that he's a Lamar Jackson-type quarterback. We saw last year, they're going to play who they feel like gives them the best chance to win, regardless of the bravado of like, oh, Taysom Hill's our guy. I frankly love it. I think it's amazing. We'll see what it looks like. As a Texas fan, you know, Taysom Hill ripped us apart when he was at BYU, so I'm kind of excited to see him get back on the field. As a quarterback, I love the gimmicky stuff that he's been doing. I know you call it a gimmick. I love the football stuff he's been doing. He's a lead blocker. He's a gunner on the punt team. Like, he does everything. And so I think now it's like, okay, let's see what this guy can do in a game where I think they're still favored to win. They were favored by 4 before this news was made. So I think, you know, I mean, come on, it's the Falcons. That defense is not very good. Let's give a guy a chance, see what he can do.
We had the rare, entertaining, aesthetically pleasing Thursday night football game last night. You know, we're used to Thursday nights being kind of a slog with guys not really recovered. But that was fun. That was entertaining down to the end, watching a couple of guys scamper around back there and make some plays down the field.
It was. And when the game ended, I was with some buddies, and one of them was like, is the game over? Is that it? I was like, yeah, that was the last play of the game, believe it or not. It was like a rare, entertaining Thursday night game. I think, you know, there's a lot of storylines that come out of that. The fact that, you know, the Seahawks have kind of reestablished themselves and might be the best team in the NFC again, or still, depending on how you look at that. But on the same side, Russell Wilson's ball control is really an issue right now. 2 more fumbles last night, even though he didn't lose either of those fumbles. That's a concern. And it's only going to get colder and wetter and more slippery out there as we get later into the season. So if they have to go to a Green Bay, for example, how is he going to be able to handle? Because I don't know how much of it is like, trying to do too much and trying to hang out in the pocket and the ball's getting stripped, or if it's truly like now it's mental, it's in his head that he's not able to hold on to the ball. We've seen the interceptions the last 4 weeks have been an issue for him. So I think that's something to watch. Even though Seattle got the win last night, they did it without Chris Carson. They did it while being, somewhat banged up on both sides of the ball. To still be able to get that win with Russ, put the ball down twice, like, that's a pretty good team. And it's always crazy to me that Seattle, when you look at rosters, and I did this yesterday, and it was like, oh, man, Arizona. Like, the matchup's there. On paper, Arizona should win this game. But when you actually get on the field, Pete Carroll's just such a good coach that you almost automatically give that edge to Seattle, especially when they're at home.
Watching Simmons play defense last night, too, I will tell you. I mean, it's Roquan Smith is having a tremendous year, and he may end up being a Pro Bowl or even All-Pro player. But I'll tell you, even on the sack that looked kind of mundane, when Simmons ran the bubble and got out around everybody and closed with the force that he did, he is something. He may be one of these guys. You don't want to invoke Brian Urlacher in there, but one of these guys that transcends positionality in some ways.
No, I think so, and we're finally starting to see what he was at Clemson, because there's this delay to start the year, and people were freaking out. Like, I thought you said this kid was good. I thought he was, a generational athlete and a rare player. It's like, just give it a second, because he's learning a position really for the first time, because in college he was a matchup guy. Like, what do we need you to do? But you go watch, the Ohio State game last year is a great example of what he's able to do. Watch the national championship game. Just his ability to take players away was so impressive. At the college level, and you knew it would come in the NFL because the size is there, the speed's there, the athleticism, and the instincts were there in college. So what he's able to do, he led the team in tackles again last night, and he's showing himself to be that three-level player. You can put him up in the box, he can rush, he can stop the run, but he can also play in coverage, and that's what makes him so exciting. Like you said, it's almost like Brian Urlacher. If Derwin James could ever stay healthy, I think it's like a mix of those two guys where you just don't see players like that very often, which is why Isaiah Simmons was so highly regarded in the draft, too.
Here at the bye week for the Bears, we are celebrating the fact we don't have a Bears game to watch this weekend. We're not prisoner to the 4 hours that's going to take. But it's also assessment time, and it's also big picture stuff, and we kind of doom spiral thinking about where we are, and in large part because they still don't have the quarterback. And I don't want to rehash everything that's been rehashed, but man, you look around this league, it's not that hard. Tua's good. Justin Herbert's good. Joe Burrow's good. Kyler Murray's good. Why is it only the Bears, when they spin the wheel, they can't find the guy that's good?
This is funny you bring this up, because I said this to someone the other day, just in like a random conversation. It was like, think of the first round quarterbacks in the last 4 years, from 2018 till now, or so that's 3 years of drafts. Quarterbacks are all good, and it's the one that's not. Mitchell Trubisky from that 2017 class, and like you say, Josh Rosen didn't pan out, but even,
or Sam Darnold, I don't know if you still think, right, Sam Darnold's got it, but like you're right, but like Josh Allen, all these guys,
right? But I think Bears fans would take Sam Darnold over, Mitch Trubisky and Nick Foles. Like, I truly believe that they would make that trade right now. Like, okay, Sam Darnold has shown flashes. He has nothing around him, and the worst coach in the NFL, you would still rather have Sam Darnold. So it is like, it has to be frustrating for you guys. And you're right. It's like the team is so close, they just don't have the quarterback. And it's kind of how I felt about the Dolphins last year. It's like, gosh, this team is close, and they're winning games with not a good quarterback. And you could see the coaching was there, the defense was there. And then what they did this offseason, they've won 5 straight games now. And some of that is because of Tua. Some of that's because the and kind of low-budget defense they put together of really good players and really good drafting. And so as a Bears fan, like, you could be optimistic. Like, God, we do have Roquan Smith, and we have Kyle Fuller, and hopefully you can find a way to keep Allen Robinson. Like, there are some pieces here. But at the same time, like, I would take the Dolphins roster over the Bears roster, not including Tua. It's just these teams are built better, and that feels crazy to say about a team that still has a winning record. They're still in the playoff hunt, but I'm with you. It does feel a little bit hopeless, and you have to hope that now you're on the other side of the Khalil Mack trade, and it's like, okay, we're going to have some picks, but do you trust Ryan Pace to be the guy who makes those picks? Do you trust Ryan Pace to be the guy that says, okay, I'm going to take another quarterback in the first round. I'm going to get it right this time. It's just not a great track record of that happening.
I mentioned Joe Burrow's name, and I've been seeing on Twitter some side-by-side comps of the numbers that Kyle Trask has been putting up at Florida with where Joe Burrow was. And anytime you can even be in the same ballpark as some of that otherworldly stuff, it's time to start talking about him now. You know, we Heisman voters have to grudgingly admit that that's probably the guy right now, unless things start to change. He's on a trajectory for this to be his season. Is he good? Is he a prospect?
He's good. And I love the humble brag there about being a Heisman voter. So I'm still not one. So one of these days, we'll both be there. You know,
it's
together.
really not that big a deal.
It's just one of the, you know, you want to be able to say someday, like you want to be able to drop on your radio show, like, well, when I make my Heisman vote, you know, and just remind people. No, Kyle Trask is good, Dan. He really is. He's, and what's fun about him is the ability to process and see the whole field, to get the ball out to different guys, whether that's Kyle Pitts or Kadarius Toney, Trevon Grimes. Like, they spread the ball around. And you're right. When you look at someone, I believe it's five straight games now with five touchdowns in the SEC.
Yep.
It's never happened before. He's doing unreal types of things. So I love his play. I do think he's a prospect. And he was good last year. So this is a little different than Joe Burrow, where Joey really came on and we were like, oh, man, he made that throw against Texas and everybody sat up. And then he started doing it against Alabama, yep, and against Georgia. And you took more notice. I feel like with Kyle Trask, he was good last year. He doesn't turn the ball over. He's 6'5", 240, with enough mobility in the pocket. To me, he's like a thicker Matt Ryan, where he's not going to wow you with mobility, but he can move around in the pocket enough. He throws the ball really well to every level without having a Josh Allen or a Patrick Mahomes type arm, but it's good enough. And so I think when we look at, you know, Trevor Lawrence is going to go first. Justin Fields might go second. After that, it's a conversation. Is it Zach Wilson at BYU? Trey Lance at North Dakota State? Kyle Trask? Is it Mac Jones at Alabama, who's also having a really, really good year? There's six quarterbacks this year that could legitimately go in the first round, which, you know, go back to 2018, five went in the first round. And a lot of people thought that maybe there could have been six if a guy like Mason Rudolph had elevated himself a little bit more during that process. So this is going to be, or if everyone declares, this could be a really, really good quarterback class. And Kyle Trask, we're going to see in Mobile at the Senior Bowl. He accepted his invite. So that's must viewing for the Bears fans down there.
We are talking with Matt Miller on Sports Radio 670 The Score. You can check him out and watch on Twitch, twitch.tv/Chicago670 The Score. Let's talk about some prospects who may be on the field. There's a handful of really good games for this college football weekend. Number 9, Indiana at 4-0, taking on number 3, Ohio State, who stands at 3-0. That is noon here Saturday on Fox, and the game will be carried on Sports Radio 670 The Score right here. At whom are you looking in that game?
Yeah, that's a big one for Ohio State. I know we talked about Indiana last week. They don't have a lot of prospects. They have a safety and a receiver. Wapfelder, the receiver, he'll play on Sundays. He's probably going to be a day three pick. But for Ohio State, this really comes down to another chance to see Justin Fields at quarterback, which he's been basically perfect all year long. And so even through limited viewing, another chance to see him is super important to watch the development. We've talked before, Dan, about transcending your system. And that a lot of people are going to question Justin Fields, and a lot of people, fans, scouts, everybody's going to question because, well, Dwayne Haskins came from that offense, and he couldn't learn the playbook in Washington well enough to get on the field. So you worry about that with Justin Fields. But I do think he's transcending his scheme and playing outside of it and getting through his progressions. So the more opportunity we have to watch him do that is really important. The Ohio State linebacking crew is also the best in the country. Tuff Borland, not only the best name for a linebacker, maybe ever, but he's a really good player. Baron Browning, really, really talented. Pete Warner, again, really, really talented. I mean, these are three people who will start in the NFL. So you want to watch that. And then at the corner position, Sean Wade, who has been kind of tabbed to be the guy there for 3 years now, decided to come back for his redshirt junior year. That matchup, him against the Indiana receivers, is going to be really good to watch.
How does he compare with Jeff Okuda?
So to me, he's not even on the same level. Like, I look at Sean Wade and I see someone who might be an inside corner more in the NFL, probably going to play a lot of zone coverage. Jeff Okuda was, I mean, that's, if you can make a corner, that's what you would do. Like, if you and I could sit down with a beer and be like, we're going to design a corner, it would be Jeff Okuda. Maybe a touch faster is the only thing you would have done, but the size, the instincts, the ball skills, the toughness, it was all perfect. So with Sean Wade, it's almost, you know, and if there was an NFL comparison, it would be like Chris Harris Jr. He's going to be really, really good playing inside. He's going to be really good in zone coverage. He just doesn't have the metrics to match up in man coverage, which is something we heard about, you know, Okuda last year. People really worried, does he have the ball skills, or excuse me, the speed to run in phase to where he can use those ball skills to be able to go get turnovers. And, you know, so far it's been a little bit hit and miss for him this year, but that's why some people did like C.J. Henderson out of Florida better last year.
After that game concludes, we flip over to ABC for number 10 Wisconsin against 19th ranked Northwestern. Those teams undefeated as well. What names do we need to know in that if we're thinking about NFL prospects?
Yeah, with this one, you think, oh, Wisconsin, which running back are we watching? But there's not one this year. So I actually think it's Northwestern offensive tackle Rashawn Slater is the best prospect in this game. And someone who at 6'3", there's going to be talk. You know, you and I have talked about Cody Whitehair a lot when he made this similar move from left tackle. Could he move inside at the NFL level? That's what a lot of people think with Rashawn Slater. But I love the way he plays. I think if you want to just watch really technically sound offensive tackle play, he's someone to watch. So he is the, you know, the marquee guy in this game where, you know, Wisconsin doesn't have this is a young team. You know, they don't have the crew they had last year where I only have two Wisconsin players on my big board right now. One's Cole Van Lannen, the other's the fullback, Mason Stokey. So not the team that you normally look at from Wisconsin where you're loaded up front, you got a couple running backs. It's a really, really young crew. So honestly, Northwestern, with what they have on that offensive line, like they're the team to watch in terms of scouting at least. But, I mean, Wisconsin, they got a young quarterback who's pretty good. They've got definitely have some young receivers who are starting to stand out. But we also just haven't seen them play a whole lot this year. So that's the other side. If Wisconsin, you know, it's probably one of the best Wisconsin teams in the last 5 years, but we just haven't seen them play a whole lot. So this will be a game where are you going to be, you know, a contender in the Big Ten, or are you just almost set being number two or number three?
Northwestern quarterback Peyton Ramsey looks the part. He delivers the ball cleanly out of his hand. You know, there's nothing too collegiate about that release. And the fact is he's made some critical throws for them into some small windows. I'm not saying he's great. I'm just saying that if you kind of squint at it, you can see building blocks there of somebody who, in my estimation, might be on an NFL roster at some point. Is that legit?
Yeah, I think size is going to be the biggest thing. Like size and arm strength are going to be the biggest things for him. I think he's like 6'2", 215, 220. So that's going to be one thing when you look at, okay, smaller body. I think he's a graduate senior or a redshirt senior, so he's going to be a little bit older. And so I look at him and Ian Book as kind of similar. And it's like, okay, similar body type, similar arm talent. Ian's a better athlete. I think he's just more prolific as a passer as well. So I wouldn't be shocked. What's going to hurt guys like Peyton Ramsey this year is that there's no Shrine Game. There's no NFLPA Bowl. So where normally you might have that opportunity, say you're the 10th best senior quarterback, you'd have an opportunity to go somewhere, showcase your talent. This year you don't get that. And I know the Senior Bowl is going to take 8 quarterbacks. But they're going to hold a spot for Trevor Lawrence. You know, they're trying to get the big names down there. So for guys like Peyton Ramsey who are on the fringe, like this is going to be a tough year to find somewhere that you can really stand out.
Yeah, the one thing I like about him, though, his eyes stay up. And I don't know if that's just age, experience, and that's what you look for. At least it's not asking a lot. But when you do see that kind of maturity of making sure that his, regardless of what's going on, regardless of situation, he's not taking receivers out of his vision because he's sort of moving on to the next thing. I like his eye level.
Yeah, and you have to watch the Bears every Sunday, so that's something you definitely
focus on. Don't remind me.
The field's 52 yards wide, and he looks the whole thing. So I think you're just also, you know, you're programmed right now, Dave. This quarterback doesn't panic, and he sees the whole field. What is this witchcraft that Peyton Ramsey has?
Sorcery. Is this allowed? Is he breaking the rules? Got to know quarterbacks can do that.
I didn't know you could look both ways.
Oh, man.
It's going to be a fun weekend.
Yeah, very quickly, too, the night game, the 14th-ranked Oklahoma State Cowboys are at number 18, Oklahoma. And am I reading this right, that Oklahoma State actually plays defense? That someone in that conference for the first time has decided that they're actually going to try to stop an opponent?
Well, I don't know about that. Last time we saw Oklahoma State, they were losing to my boys. So I don't know that anyone in the Big 12 is playing defense. I think Oklahoma actually wins this game. I think they're starting to really ramp up after a very slow and ugly start. Lincoln Riley's getting it figured out. That's another young offense. Think of all the offensive linemen they put in the league the last 2 years, all the receivers, the running backs. This is a young team. I think that Spencer Rattler's starting to calm down and figure it out. And, you know, some of the hype has died down about him. And I think that only helps to where you're not as focused. But we got to watch to see if Chuba Hubbard gets going. It's been a very slow start for him, someone who was a Heisman candidate when the season started. There's a lot of talk about him being a top 5 running back prospect. That's kind of died down, so this could be his bounce back week.
Matt Miller, always appreciate it. Have a terrific weekend. Good health to you and yours.
Thanks, buddy.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.